We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The second half of my career have really been a student to the game on how can I improve? How can I put myself in a better position to finish these races?
You can listen to The Duels on News Radio WRVA with coverage starting at 6 p.m. And Alex Ovechkin goes for career goal 700 tonight as his Washington Capitals travel to Colorado to take on the Avalanche. Puck drop is slated for 9:30. For more info, head to thefanrichmond.com. I'm Adam Harrell for Sports Radio 910 The Fan and on 105.1 FM.
Cranking you up and taking you home. Wes McElroy on Sports Radio 910 The Fan, and now on 105.1 FM.
4 o'clock hour. Thanks for cranking us up. Speaking of cranked up, the Astros found a way to get people cranked up again today. We're going to go to spring training coming up here in about 5 minutes and check in on the Astros, as well as, oh yeah, by the way, the defending World Series champion, the Washington Nationals, as they get things started from spring training today. We're getting things started in the 4 o'clock hour, brought to you by our friends at Edible Arrangements. Somewhere, let's do this here in the next 20 minutes. Next 30 minutes. Somewhere in the next 30 minutes, I am going to hook somebody up with a little Valentine's gift from Edible Arrangements. Oh, by the way, gents, it's tomorrow. Yeah, might want to get on that. Welcome in. Thanks for cranking us up, whether it be on the radio or the radio.com app. Spent a little time in the 3 o'clock hour talking to our buddy Sean Robertson of CBS 6 about the VCU game last night, if you want to call it a game. I believe the word I used was turd. And I try not to use those nasty words around you because I know this is a family, wholesome radio show, but it was bad. And it was really bad to the point where this team continues to lack urgency. This team continues where I admit I'm a fool. What's the line about assuming? I assumed. When you assume, you know what you make yourself into. I assumed that this VCU team learned its lesson after going up to Rhode Island and just not having the urgency in the first half, trying to turn it on in the second half and falling short. And I thought, hey, week off, they're getting it. Mike Rhodes is talking about the players being mad. The players are talking about being mad. I thought they had turned a corner. I thought they had realized the urgency of this season. And then to see that game last night, to see them, and with the exception of Dariante Jenkins early on, that team just lacked urgency across the board. Marcus Evans is banged up. We don't know an update on his status, but Marcus Evans gimping off the floor last night, gimping, limping, at points crawling off with 5 minutes left. This team already had a challenge uphill going into the stretch with Richmond on Saturday, Dayton, and then St. Louis. And Richmond last night, Richmond did exactly what VCU should have done, and that is take care of business. Find your own mojo, fire yourself up, go up against an inferior opponent, and run them out of the building. I want to give credit to George Mason. Dave Paulson is a really good coach. And the adversity that team has faced, they've had to change up a lot of things on the fly. They battled last night. They scrapped, they called. They were the team clearly that wanted it more. And if you don't buy that, Dariante Jenkins of VCU actually said that post-game. But this one, we can look around at different situations, and we can blame the refs, and we can blame, and I know some people, it's an easy avenue when it comes to college sports. Let's go after the coach. Nah. Now, I have a rule on this show. I call it the way I see it. This one's on that team. This one's on the VCU team. That they, at this juncture of the season, with everything that's on the line, with everything that's going on, with everything that's in front of them, with everything that they're on the bubble, that they came out looking like that last night and played that game and played that second half. Nope, sorry. That's on the team. And now they have just made a really tough road, even tougher, because that's the bad loss. Up until this point, they've been a bubble team. It's all been in front of them, but they didn't have that bad loss. Now, congratulations, you got that bad loss. You missed Sean Robertson of CBS 6 on VCU and on Richmond and on this matchup on Saturday. You can go check it out at thefanrichmond.com. And then there's the other mess in sports, and that would be the Houston Astros. Good Lord. Today, early morning press conference from Florida, where the Astros owner Jim Crane, new manager Dusty Baker, players Jose Altuve and Alex Bregman, they met with the media. And what you had was Jim Crane and Dusty Baker take questions. Jose Altuve and Alex Bregman read a statement. And if we could, this has basically become the money line, the money question of the day. Here is Jim Crane, the owner of the Astros, being asked, what do you say to those teams in 2017 you beat, like the Yankees?
Mr. Crane, what do you have to say to the Yankees and teams that you beat in 17?
Listen, the Yankees have had a few comments out there. You know, our opinion is, you know, that this didn't impact the game. We had a good team. We won the World Series, and we'll leave it at that.
And when he said it didn't impact the game, it was basically like squeezing lighter fluid onto a lit grill. It just lit it all up again. Sam Fortier, our buddy from the Washington Post, joining us now on the Hadid Rug Cleaning Hotline. He's down in Florida. He's covering baseball. He was amongst all this craziness today. Sam, on a day where the Astros tried to help themselves out, how much more do they hurt themselves this morning, this afternoon?
The short answer is a lot, and they did that because it was very difficult to find any logical through line through their apologies today. They half apologized at best. I think a good example of that is Lance McCullers, the pitcher. He said his quote was, "I apologize to the city of Houston and the game of baseball as a whole." I kind of followed up and said, you know, there are a lot of players who feel as though you hurt their careers, their legacies. How would you respond to them? And he kind of dodged my question and pointed out that they once again apologized to the city of Houston and the game of baseball as a whole. And I asked, you know, I followed up again and said, you know, these players are upset that they want peer accountability, and he just moved on to the next question. It was very difficult to determine, you know, they were apologizing, but who exactly were they apologizing to, and if they didn't believe that it had an outcome of the game, what were they apologizing for? It was a very confusing day on a day that should have been pretty straightforward.
Yeah, and it felt like what we do as married men, Sam, like when we get into a fight and we just want it to be over and we say, honey, I'm sorry, and they go, sorry for what? And you're like, I don't know, I'm sorry. Like, is there a reason? Like, you should know what you're sorry for, and that's what it felt like from a player's standpoint. Before I dive deeper into the players, Jim Crane, like, I don't know if that guy has a public relations staff. I don't know if he didn't listen to the public relations staff, but the one thing that caught me, Sam, today, on top of him trying to explain how this didn't impact the game, and maybe you can help me connect these dots that I'm missing. I'm listening to the owner sitting there talking about bad guidance and bad leadership, and that's why it happened, and he removed the GM and the manager. Yet, is it not Rob Manfred, the commissioner, who said that this was a player-driven scandal?
That's exactly right, and I think that's why when you approach this day, you have to think to yourself, okay, logic cannot apply to anything that we're hearing here. Because, I mean, if you think about it, Jim Crane said he didn't know until November, and he immediately took action. He went above and beyond the commissioner and fired manager A.J. Hinch, general manager Jeff Luhnow. He said he went above and beyond. But if you really want to start with accountability, you know, guys at the top, he would be the number one guy. And he said, you know, I should not be held accountable. And that's okay. Well, it's a player-driven scheme. How should the players be held accountable? And he said, well, you know, there are a bunch of good guys that were given bad advice. And he really did not address that. And it's something that I think a lot of players want to know. And kind of the thing to me that stood out most was Josh Reddick, one of the most candid players on the Astros, the outfielder, was asked today, hey, you know, what would you say to Clayton Kershaw, a pitcher whose legacy and career was hugely shaped by his failure against you guys in the World Series? What would you say to him? He said, I don't think that we owe anybody an apology, him or anybody else for that matter. It is what it is. And that lack of contrition sort of summed up what we heard today.
The old is what it is. That seems to be thrown out a whole lot there by people in Houston around Major League Baseball. Sam Fortier joining us in the Washington Post. He was amongst the Astros today. Jim Crane, he's down in Florida covering spring training. I'll get to the team that you do cover, and that would be the Nationals. But, Sam, why were the players not penalized in this? Have we come up, have you heard or been given a good reason of why the players were not punished amongst all of this when it was a player-driven scandal?
So I think there's a few options here. I think the first one is that maybe the commissioner's office said, okay, there's too many players. The Astros must field the team this year. We can't, you know, if we suspended all the guys involved, you know, they would have a AAA team on the field for a while, which I think a lot of people, justifiably so, would not have a problem with. But I think it's that. I think that the Astros themselves, I think what they were saying by not saying it, is that they believe there are more teams involved, more teams were stealing signs. Obviously, there's an ongoing investigation into the Boston Red Sox, which won the World Series in 2018. I think that lack of apology to current players, to current teams, to me, it sort of said, hey, we weren't the only ones doing this, and we're being made an example of.
Mm. Sam Fortier with us. Sam, is this story done? Does it have legs?
I don't think it will be done. It can't be done. I don't think that the Astros need to make a full apology for this story to end, because I think this is not going to paper things over. I don't think anyone in baseball is happy. But I think that the thing that's going to perpetuate this now is the fans. I mean, when you go to any road game against the Astros this year, there's going to be trash cans of the fans. There's going to be booze. People will remind this team of what they did. And I think that's going to be the primary driver of this scandal for, I would say, at least the first half of the season, if not this entire season.
Sam, for my audience and for me, because I kind of know, but I've never been, can you describe, this has got to be such a weird, I don't even know what I want to put it, a setup, I don't know the exact word I'm looking for, but that you have the Astros there, and basically across the street are the Nationals, and the Nationals just beat the Astros in the World Series, and the Astros are the story of baseball for cheating, yet there's the Nationals, the defending World Series champion. Can you describe basically the acreage that you stand on and how weird it is amongst baseball?
No, you're exactly right. It's not even across the street. I'm actually standing in the parking lot right now looking. You got the ballpark of the Palm Beaches, and then it's like a baseball field. And then imagine on your right is the Washington Nationals with the big curly W, and on your left is the Houston Astros, and the Astros have their 2017 World Champs sign up. The Nationals don't have anything yet commemorating their World Series, but it really is just a baseball complex divided in two, and more than a few people spend all day walking back and forth.
Crazy. Hey, how about those Nationals? What have they had anything to say about this? I know pitchers and catchers are there. I saw some tweets today, but Scherzer and Doolittle had some opinions on this.
Scherzer and Doolittle, I think, were a little reserved. The guy that I did hear speak about it was Patrick Corbin, and he just said, "Hey, this is he kind of echoed what a lot of players are saying. Hey, this is wrong. This is something that never should have happened. Thank God that we had five sets of signs and we went out there and won the World Series, because if we had not done that, I think this scandal gets." Sizably worse.
Sam Fortier, read him in the Post. Be camped out in Florida watching spring training. Yes, covering those World Series champion Washington Nationals and the rest of baseball. Good reporting today, man. Thanks for jumping on the fly. I appreciate you.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
All right. Sam Fortier, always kind and good with his time. Let me do this. There's something there that Sam said at the out about the Nationals. And if you're a Nats fan, stick around, because I'm going to circle this over to you. But as far as the Astros, here's our poll question. And I brought this up today. It's not an original poll question. It's one that was done about a month ago, 2 months ago maybe, which is crazy because that's exactly how long the Astros had to plan for this press conference today, and they still screwed it up. But that they screwed it up, it's infuriated a lot of people. So we put up the poll question. If you were Major League Baseball's commissioner, would you strip the Astros of the World Series title, put an asterisk on it, or nothing changes? You can go vote at thefanrichmond.com, but I'll open the phones. If you heard this today, if you watched this, if you heard the owner of the Astros, which is crazy because some people were like, I don't care, it's the Astros, it's baseball, there's cheating. But that you actually hear an owner of baseball today say, yeah, we didn't think this impacted the game. What? 833-804-0910. Phone number, that's yours. It's open for you. You want to chime in? Use it. But I do want to circle this back because we keep talking about 2017 and the Astros in 2017. You know, they won the World Series in 2017. Why is it really hard for me to believe that this didn't happen in 2018 and 2019? I'll get to that next here on Sports Radio 910 The Fan and 105.1 FM. you guys, you do know Valentine's Day is tomorrow, right? And here's the crazy thing. Valentine's Day and President's Day fall on the same weekend. And when that happens, well, that means it's time for something extraordinary. Yes, celebrate Valentine's Day and maybe get a day off. But also at Diamonds Direct, now through Monday, you can get 5 years, zero interest financing with no money down on anything and everything. 60 months, zero interest. This is the best offer. This is their best offer. And at the perfect time with Valentine's Day. And maybe you're throwing her a curveball. Since we're talking so much baseball, maybe you're throwing a curveball. Maybe she thinks that you're getting engaged this Valentine's Day. And then maybe you're not. Maybe it's right after. But if you're looking at engagement rings, think of this. $6,000 diamond engagement ring. You only pay $100 a month. This is a great time to get that ring. And maybe you don't. Maybe you can propose on Friday. Maybe you can wait. But 5 years, zero interest financing with no money down through Monday. Pick any item, spread your payments over 5 years without paying a dime in interest. Diamonds Direct, Shore Pump, Westboro Village. It's the only place I'm going to send you for jewelry in Central Virginia.
You're listening to Wes McElroy on Sports Radio 910 The Fan, and now on 105.1 FM.
Michael Phillips of the Times-Dispatch going to be with us in about 15 minutes on the Redskins. Also, Michael covered the XFL last week. And if you missed Pep Hamilton, the head coach of the DC Defenders, we're going to bring part of that back in the 5 o'clock hour. Coach was a lot of fun. It's a good time. We're going to have him on more often as they go into Act 2 this weekend. I still have to get into the story about airline travel and this segment. At some point this segment, I will give away this Valentine's gift from our friends at Edible Arrangements. But before the break, thanks to Sam Fortier of the Washington Post joining us. He was down with the Astros today. He's down around the Nationals. We're going to talk to Billy Ripken a little bit later on, the MLB Network analyst. He's written a new book. He's going to join us at 5 o'clock. But a lot of reaction to this today. And this was supposed to be a day where I said this going into the press conference. All the Astros had to do, they had this meeting of how they were going to handle it, how they were going to talk to the players, the owner. I said, here's how you handle it. You own it. You say exactly what you did. You apologize. You say you manipulated the game. We got into deep. We knew what we were doing. We knew what was wrong, but it was working. Okay, it's not going to stop the story, but you could slow it down a little bit. It's when you keep feeding a story, that's why it keeps going. And this story that the baseball players, that they were not punished, That's what keeps fueling this, and that's what keeps making people think there's something else to this story. What else is going on? And the Wall Street Journal, to their credit, has done a great job. They keep digging stuff like Operation Codebreaker. And when there's still a smell to a story, journalists are going to dig. Let's go to Paul in Richmond. Paul, you're on Sports Radio 910, The Fan, and 105.1 FM.
Yo, Wes, how's it going?
Yo!
Anyway, I say suspend all the participating players for 1 year. Not only of those of the Astros, but of any other teams that are caught cheating. Because all this is doing is making Pete Rose look rather innocent in comparison.
Hold on. Before we get to the Pete Rose side of things, so you would go an entire year. Why would you go an entire year?
Just to make him forfeit a pay salary for a year, just to teach him and to teach the other players from ever thinking that doing this is a deterrent for the other players never to get involved in a scheme like this, like they engineered. And I think there are other teams involved.
Yeah, and Paul, I got to agree with you on that one. That's the one thing to me is when you let the players off scot-free, it's not that they're going to do it again. It's that they're – it's like, wait a minute, hold on. We can blame the GM and the manager, and we can still do this? Like, what's the punishment? And I guess until they get to – I don't know if they have to wait till the next collective bargaining agreement, and maybe it's a question I should ask Sam, but, yeah, where's the penalty? Where's the punishment? Where's the great point. Where's the precedent?
There's also plenty of AAA minor league players that can very well compete on the major league level.
Yep.
So the Astros would not have a problem fielding a team if they are allowed to make the trades to stock the team. But yeah,
and
anyway.
Paul, you bring up a great point because we brought this up with steroids. When you cheat other guys out of a job. You cheat other guys who lose jobs because maybe they gave up a dinger or you roughed them up one day. You're right. There's other guys out there that were chased out of a job.
Hungry.
Yeah.
They're hungry to play in the major league. They want that cup of coffee no matter how long it lasts.
Paul, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it.
And I think Pete Rose and Shoeless Joe, this is going to be some of the things that's going to force Major League to really admit them into the Hall of Fame. I really do.
All right. Well, that one I'm going to disagree with you on. I don't think this is going to do anything to Pete Rose or Shoeless Joe Jackson. One, Shoeless Joe Jackson, rest in peace. I do think Shoeless Joe Jackson got the bad end of that. I don't think he had anything to do with that. But Pete Rose... Kyle, I think we brought Pete Rose, last week? I am still getting lit up on emails by Pete Rose. I got a guy the other day calling my argument weak, which, by the way, you do email the show, I will get back to you. It just takes me a little bit of time. Yeah, look, Pete, this isn't helping Pete out. Because the biggest thing with Pete is Pete hasn't helped himself out. But that, I digress. Here's one thing that Sam brought up here before the break, and that was the Nationals. Carlos Correa was one of the players today. He flat out denied the buzzer using. That was one of the things the players were asked about and Sam was mentioning. So they didn't do it. Carlos Correa also said they didn't do anything in 2018 or 2019. I'm sorry. I'm going to find it really, really hard to believe that if you did something and it was working, and yes, Jim Crane, this did impact the game, that you did something in 2017 and it worked. And it worked to the point where you won the World Series. I'm sorry, I don't have a lot of common sense, but I'm finding a tough time not believing that if it worked in 2017 and you won the World Series, that you didn't do it in 2018 and 2019. And Sam was just talking about the players mentioning, and there's a great breakdown that Sam wrote about in the Post where they had five different types of signs. That they had five sets of signs the Nationals did because the Nationals were getting tipped by other teams. Yo, it's the Astros. They're going to screw with you. Other people were coming out of baseball woodwork and, hey, good luck in a World Series. Win it legit. Be ready for this. So you weren't doing this in 2018 and 2019. Really? It's these things that just keep adding up. Why? Well, that's interesting. Jim Crane said it wasn't the players. They were under bad influence. They were under the bad guidance. Yet the commissioner says it was a player-driven scandal. You cheated in 2017. You won the World Series. But you didn't do it in 2018, 2019? I'm just throwing it out there. I don't have much common sense, but every once in a while it kicks in, and on this one it's kicking in. It's just not adding up. Speaking of adding up, I know Valentine's Day can add up. So let me hook some of you up right now. Caller number 5. I've got a certificate for delicious strawberries dipped in semi-sweet chocolate from our friends at Edible Arrangements. Do not end up in the doghouse this Valentine's Day. Right now, I'm not only going to give these away now, but what time's our office closed? Like, is it 5:30?
5:15.
5:15? You can get here by 5:15, we'll get you taken care of. And that way you can roll in tomorrow and be like the man. You cats did take care. Adam, Kyle, you guys good on Valentine's Day? Don't even tell me no. I'm giving you fair warning. But Kyle, no. Go buy your mom something nice. Go get her flowers. Plus the fact, if you go tomorrow morning, like your local Kroger or Publix, all discounted. Actually, if you go at like 9 o'clock tonight, you'll be good. I'm just saying. Caller 5 right now. We're going to give you the ultimate discount. Free. I've got a certificate for 12 delicious strawberries from Edible Arrangements. These strawberries they're delicious. And look, Edible Arrangements, locally owned and operated, fresh fruit available, hand-cut, ham-dipped, Valentine's chocolate. It has no calories, by the way, you know, because it's Valentine's chocolate, as long as it's in an edible arrangement. Right now, caller 5, you get this prize pack from Edible Arrangements, 833-804-0910. Don't forget Valentine's Day from Edible Arrangements.
VCU takes the loss last night as George Mason wins with a final score of 72-67. Head coach Mike Rhodes says it's time to move forward.
It's a long season, and you have moments like this. We wish we had it back, but you don't, and we gotta put our big boy pants on and get to work tomorrow.
VCU will be looking for redemption as they travel to Richmond this Saturday afternoon. The Spiders ended up with the road victory as they beat LaSalle 74-47. The duels at Daytona are tonight as the races will set up the field for this Sunday's Daytona 500. Denny Hamlin wants to be smart and hope for the best for this Sunday's race.
We put a lot of emphasis on this race and how prestigious it is and how much it would mean to win it. But as long as I do what I deem the best job possible, I'll live with the outcome no matter what it is.
You can listen to the duels tonight on News Radio WRVA with coverage starting at 6. And the Capitals are on the road as they visit Colorado, and Alex Ovechkin is looking to score career goal number 700. Puck drop is slated for 9:30. For more info, head to thefanrichmond.com. I'm Adam Harrell on Sports Radio 910 The Fan and on 105.1 FM.
Thank you to Jacob Maupin in Ashland for listening to the show. Jacob was caller number 5. Got himself the Valentine's arrangement from Edible Arrangements. Don't forget, gentlemen, Valentine's Day is tomorrow, and Edible Arrangements locally owned and operated. By the way, if you're looking for Michael Robinson this hour, Mike Robb of the NFL Network is at the NFL Network. I guess even the NFL Network is a lot like everywhere else right now. Everybody getting whacked by the flu and the cold, so Michael had to unexpectedly jump on a plane really, really quick and go fill one of the vacant chairs and fill out and help out at Total Access because, like everywhere, everyone's sick. So Mike Robb will be back with us next week on the show. But Michael Phillips, the Richmond Times-Dispatch, joins us now as he does each and every Thursday. Michael, how are you, my friend?
Buddy, this is, I love having Mike Robb here, but this is more talk time for me. So my ego's pretty okay with this.
Michael, more Michael Phillips time. By the way, there'll be more Michael Phillips time Monday because Michael will be hosting the show. So you get him for all 4 hours. And
was this about 4 hours? Uh-oh.
Well, you could do a 2-hour show, record it, and just run it back. I mean, I'm taking the day off. I don't care. I don't care if you bring in a Cuban cigar and smoke it in the studio and do it while drinking bourbon. I'm off. So have fun. Hey,
it'll be a good show. It's President's Day. I figure we'll just do 4 hours of presidential trivia. And I know you're thinking that's a hack sports talk thing, like, oh, talk about presidents and sports. No, we're just going to do straight, dry presidential facts for 4 hours. There won't be a sports hook at all.
All right, look, first of all, we're in sports talk radio here. We're not curing cancer. So you can do cliche sports talk radio all you want. You got to do, on President's Day, you've got to do a Mount Rushmore topic of something on Mount Rushmore. You could do a Mount Rushmore of Mount Rushmore sports talk topics, but it seems like it's that traditional sports talk radio topic on President's Day.
No question. Well, I'll be coming in guns blazing.
All right. We look forward to it on Monday. And you know what you also get to do is, if you want, you can recap the Ron Rivera yard sale. Have you seen what Ron Rivera is doing with his Carolina Panthers gear?
Yard sale.
He is having a yard sale in Charlotte, and the proceeds go to the Humane Society. I love this idea.
Fantastic concept, and I think a really, really cool thing to do because he can't wear any of it ever again.
No. No, and we always wonder what happened to that coaching gear that these guys wear. They get tons of it through Nike or Reebok or Adidas, and he's going to sign it, and the money goes to a good cause.
Do you think he has a Carolina Panthers Super Bowl champions shirt that he would have worn post-game if they – like, you know, you always see the kids in Africa wearing those.
But yep.
Do you think Rivera got one?
Probably too soon. Probably, because those things basically go right in the box and get on a 747 to a foreign country. So I'm doubting he said, you know, let me have one as a keepsake.
I would love to have something like that. Yeah,
all right.
You know, one of the Buffalo Bills Super Bowl champs T-shirt. I would wear that all the
time. Okay, you get one. You get one shirt that could have been that existed, but it didn't exist. Give me the one rare collector's item of a loser T-shirt or sweatshirt or hat that you would want.
Man, the three that immediately come to mind, Wes, obviously one would be the Bills, specifically the Norwood game. Two would be USSR Olympic gold medal champions in hockey. And three would be a Boston Red Sox 1984 world champions.
Oh, 86, you mean, with Bill Buckner.
Thank you.
Bill Buckner.
The Buckner game.
Yeah.
I'm sure more will come to me. That's my immediate.
If there was a market, and this is from a guy who rolls around, and one of my prized clothing possessions is my long sleeve Hartford Whalers shirt. The way that we wear uniform, like wear jerseys or wear T-shirts of teams that no longer exist, like you can go to the NHL store in Manhattan and they still sell Hartford Whalers stuff.
Quebec Nordiques, yeah.
Yeah, that could be an entire line of almost champion T-shirts. See, this is it. This is how we get out of newspaper and radio. We go into business, and that becomes our clothing line.
people would buy that.
I'm just throwing it out there. All right, Michael Phillips with us from the Times-Dispatch. Since we're talking about yard sales, Ron Rivera's having one. Is Quentin Dunbar going to have a yard sale with his Redskins gear? What's going on there? Because one day it's he wants out. The next day it's, hold on, this is all overblown. I'm going to sit down with Ron Rivera. What is going on with Quentin Dunbar?
No, you know, the one thing that's encouraged me through the whole thing, Wes, is at no point has he said I'm not playing. And, you know, obviously that's when this escalates, the threats to hold out or not play games or things like that. Lots of guys ask to be traded. Lots of guys ask for new deals. Lots of guys skip OTAs. That happens every year, and that is nothing to worry about. It escalates when they indicate that they're not going to play football. And so far, all indications from Dunbar have been that he will play football, that it will come down to this. He's a guy on a bad contract. You know, that happens a lot to these undrafted guys because you got to try to cash in quickly. But then if you keep getting good, you end up on a bad deal. He's on a bad deal right now. He would like some love from the team. I think the team should lock him up long term, you know, as a show of good faith. You know, the fewer headaches you have in roster construction, the better. But if they choose not to, he's got to go play another year. And frankly, I don't think it would hurt him all that much to miss OTA. So I'm going to choose not to read into this one too much at the moment.
Yeah, it felt like it was a something that I don't want to say became a nothing, but it really felt like the poison, the fangs of the situation got taken away quickly. You mentioned
there are no nothings when we talk about NFL offseason news. Any morsel is a something these days.
Well, it's definitely not a nothing with cornerbacks, and that was my next question. In terms of biggest offseason need, where does corner rank for you for this team?
Yeah, you know, it depends what they do with Josh Norman, which I'm curious about. I think they probably cut him. $15 million salary can cut him with no financial penalty at all. You know, that I think that's a pretty easy move to take the savings, get younger, move on. Now, if you do that, you need another starter. I think Dunbar's in there. He's locked in. You pencil him in as the one. You know, you've certainly got a slot guy somewhere in the, you know, Fabian Moreau, Jimmy Moreland mix, and then you're going to need a number two. So yeah, it's a position in need. I think inside linebacker is a position in need, and we're on year 19 of safety being in need. I don't know if this regime will be any different than the past ones, or if there's going to slap some more duct tape on it. But I think defensively, those are the key things you're looking at.
Michael Phillips joining us from the Times-Dispatch on Sports Radio 910 The Fan and 105.1 FM. Trent Williams and Ron Rivera reportedly talking. Do you see this as they're just testing the waters, they're taking the temperature, or do you see this as like a full-on-out push to bring Trent back in the fold?
No, I think Rivera is slow playing this, and I think the reason why is you look ahead to the draft, and I do think they'll end up taking Chase Young, but if you look at the trade-down scenarios, and they're going to entertain those on draft night, of course, because you'd be crazy not to. This Tua hype train is rolling. Somebody's going to want that guy, and you control the access to him at number two. So, you know, if they do trade down, I think you're looking at trading into the 4, 5, 6 range, you know, those teams that really need quarterbacks and would make a move up. If you land on one of those picks, you're probably going to take a left tackle. Just looking at talking to scouts, looking at the draft boards, you know, seeing who's good and who's going to be available. I think if you end up with the number 5 overall pick, you're probably using it to take your next left tackle. So then, you know, do you need Trent Williams there at that point? You know, certainly he would probably be, you know, not happy to be a backup or a mentor at this stage of his career. He still wants to play. So you wouldn't need him as much. Now, I don't think that's the likely scenario, but I think it is a scenario that could happen. And so I think if you're very, very hesitant to commit long-term to Trent, give him a new deal, bring him back into the fold, knowing the potential exists that you got to push him back out in a couple months.
This is really exciting. And I know it's about number one, and I know there's been questions about Burrow and the Bengals and going back to the Palmer relationship, but this whole stuff that's around Tua, a good medical report this week, we got the combine coming up the next couple weeks. There are so many scenarios, and I know some are just locked into draft Chase Young and do nothing else, but there are so many potential scenarios that are on the table now and things that could grow over the next 2 months with the Redskins at number two and Tua and other teams in need of a quarterback.
There's 19 cable networks devoted to talking about quarterbacks 24/7. Any glimpse we get of Tua, any positive report, is just going to turn into full-blown hype between now and then. And some owner's going to be watching that saying, man, he's not going to be there for me at 6. I got to go up. I got to get my guy. Tua's our guy, you know. And all of a sudden, that it just takes one. That hype builds, Wes. Nobody's going to make that trade offer for Chase Young. And that's not a knock on Chase Young. But the kind of offer you need to move out of that position is 3 first rounders. It's a, you know, something of that just massive game changing caliber, 2 firsts and a star player. So it's got to be a jaw dropper of an offer. I really think those are the two they'd consider. You just don't do that for defensive players, even active defensive players. You think about Khalil Mack, You know, maybe J.J. Watt would be a guy you do that for. There just aren't a lot of those guys. They're quarterbacks. And so it's got to be Tua or Burrow, and there's got to be a lot of hype behind him. And you got to get a team that's desperate and is willing to give you that. If you get three first, I'm out of there. Peace out. See you down the board.
I know you were up there last Saturday. I know you covered the inaugural XFL game. What'd you think of the D.C. Defenders? What'd you think of the product?
Had a good time. I think the stadium's really cool. The Audi Field there, the soccer field, everybody's really close to the action, you know, really feels it in a way you don't in a big NFL stadium. You know, the question's the same as it is for everything. You know, there's not going to be a sellout crowd there this weekend. There's not going to be lots of media attention on it this weekend. And then they're going to play eight more games after this weekend. Can you sustain the hype, keep grinding, keep putting out a good product, even when you have a quarter or an eighth or a tenth of the audience watching on TV and in the stands? I think you have to demonstrate that long-haul staying power. You know, we've seen lots of leagues come in with splashy debuts. Really tough to hang on to that momentum, though.
Michael, good stuff as always, and I'll have my people call your people. We'll get that merchandise showcase on the line. I'm like, we call it loser loungewear, where we just bring T-shirts, maybe sweatpants, sweatshirts of teams that lost, and we make the T-shirts that existed momentarily but never hit the stands.
Absolutely. We'll be hawking them for 4 hours on Monday, 2 to 6 on The Fan. Tune in.
You don't want to miss it. Thank you, Michael.
Yes, sir.
Michael Phillips, The Times Dispatch and Richmond.com. Somebody's going to do it someday. Think about all the retro gear that you wear. If you've never been to the NHL store in downtown Manhattan, you can go in there and they have the Flyers and the Penguins and the Capitals, and they have the Nordiques, the Hartford Whalers. So if we wear clothes of teams that no longer exist, like, think about that. Think about a T-shirt line of teams that didn't win. Famous teams like the 86 Red Sox, the Buffalo Bills with Scott Norwood. I'll throw it out to you. What T-shirt would you wear? If you could have one championship T-shirt that it didn't exist. It existed, but then it went to a third world country. What would it be? What famous one would it be? Help me. And all right, now I got to seriously think about making this a business line. You can tweet the show at YoWest910TheFan. We'll come back. Some of you want to weigh in on the Astros. We'll get to some of those tweets. We'll do that coming up. Also, I want to get to the story that is I'm not big on everything on the internet. Like, everything on the internet's a thing. But I did see this last night. A conflict of interest. Who's wrong? Who's right? And it comes down to airline travel. I'll get to that next. Sports Radio 910 The Fan and 105.1 FM.
the only man who does his hair for radio, Wes McElroy on Sports Radio 910 The Fan, and now on 105.1 FM.
Thank you, as always, to Mr. Michael Phillips of the Times-Dispatch. He, like all of our guests, appearing on the Hadid Rug Cleaning Hotline. Who will appear on the Hadid Rug Cleaning Hotline at 5:05? That would be none other than Major League Baseball Network analyst Mr. Billy Ripken. Sure, he's got some thoughts about the Astros. And also, Billy's written a really good book that I would say right now, if you are, I don't want to age guess here, but I would say if you are between the ages of 35 and 75, I think you're going to enjoy this book. But we'll have Billy on the show. He'll join us at the top of the hour, XM Satellite host and analyst for MLB Network. Billy Ripken going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour. Phone lines are open. Got a couple different things. I opened up the hour with VCU. We can get back into that. I don't know if VCU fans really want to get back into that. However, quick turnaround to what was a big game already on Saturday against Richmond. For both schools, it became even bigger. Talked about the Astros. You can get in on that if you want. And the poll question is up right now at thefanrichmond.com. If you were Commissioner of Baseball, would you strip the Astros of the World Series, put an asterisk on it, or nothing changes at all? You can vote thefanrichmond.com. By the way, Michael and I were discussing before the break about the hypotheticals of launching a clothing line based off just famous losers in sports. Danny writes in the show, I have the almost championship t-shirt you would have to make, the Atlanta Falcons, 28-3. Was that Super Bowl? Was that 51? Yeah, Super Bowl 51. Seriously, think about that. You're rolling t-shirt and jeans. I'm a big t-shirt and jeans guy. Like, you may see me out and about in a suit. I'm not a suit person. I used to be a suit person. If I could live, may someday when they bury me, t-shirt and jeans. Like that, I'm a t-shirt and jeans type of person. I love a good t-shirt. Roll out to the bar, especially you single guys. Roll to a bar. It's a great conversation starter. T-shirts can be a really good conversation starter. Holy crap, where'd you get that t-shirt? Atlanta Falcons, Super Bowl 51 champions. How cool would that be? Tell you, my heart for a Whaler shirt. People will stop me like, yo, Whalers. It's a great line. I better stop talking about it because one of you weasels is going to do it, retire, and I'm going to be stuck here doing this radio show for another 12 years. Not that I have any problem with that. I'm just saying. It happened to me with candles. I did a show, and I can tell you right now, I did a show back in 2008. And there was I can't remember the name of it. It was a barbecue joint down in Carytown. Carey Street. And I came out of there, and I came back, and I did the show. And I said that I love the smell of this place. And if I could make a candle of it, I would somehow make it. And I said on the air, the whole topic we did was smells that men love. And I said, we would call it Mandels. And I said, I got to patent this one day. I got to retire off this idea. You been to Yankee Candle lately? They got the Mandels. I got nobody to blame but myself. If only there were Shark Tank back then. Just saying. I did want to get to this. There's a lot of things on the internet. And when I say a lot, there's a lot of crazy thing on the internet. Like the whole broom thing the other night, the whole stand-up broom. I'm sure some of you tried it. I didn't, but I get it. It was a thing. But as the kids say, there are certain things that go viral, and one of which is the video of the woman reclining in her airplane seat. You guys know what I'm talking about? You guys have seen this? If not, please put the video up at thefanrichmond.com. We'll get it up there. So this woman is reclining in her airplane seat. The man behind her is so annoyed. He is in the rear seat of the plane, so he cannot recline. The video is of him agitated, and he is repeatedly punching the back of her seat. And when I say repeatedly, I'm talking, he looks like he's got it on a speed bag. Like, he's just jabbing. He's one-handed shivering and just nonstop. And she's laying there. She's not budging. He's not giving up. I don't know what happened afterwards, but I imagine it wasn't good. And the question was posed on the internet, who's wrong, who's right? If you haven't seen the video, we'll get it up here at thefanrichmond.com. As the kids would say, it went viral. This year, I have flown more than ever in my job. I have been on a plane this year, in 1 year, more than my entire career. Flying different football games, doing the sideline thing. I will tell you, you would like to fly with me. I'm a pretty much a low-maintenance flyer, with the exception of me falling asleep and snoring. That's probably my only bad trait. But most times I put my headphones in. I work a lot on the plane. I try to stay in my own personal space because I know other people don't. And I am pretty much used to people. I don't like to – I'm not one of those people who like confrontation. Like, I don't like to make it a thing. So I'm pretty much used to people who recline their seats. And every once in a while, you'll get that person in front of you who will be kind, who will ask, who will turn around, hey, do you mind if I tip this back? Hey, no problem, good. But I would say 9 out of 10 times, they just throw it back and they don't even ask. And honestly, that's – I stopped doing this years ago. I was on a plane to Vegas. I stopped getting the online beverage service in a plane, even just a cup of water. Because I usually like a tomato juice on a plane or an occasional Bloody Mary. But I saw we were on a plane to Vegas, and this one girl was sitting there, and she was doing work, and the guy in front of her threw – she had the tray table down. She had the drink on it. He puts the seat back, and it basically just catapulted this entire drink head to toe on this woman. And she was clearly dressed up to get off the plane, either go to a business meeting or go out in Vegas, but it wasn't good. So an airplane is very much like society. It is perfect society in 2020. No one has any situational awareness about them whatsoever. Same way in a plane. Like, you're in a tight space, put your seat back, hug up an armrest. No common courtesy on an airplane. With that said, I'm watching this video, and the question is, who's in the wrong, who's in the right? No one's in the right, because I hate that person that just decides I'm going to lounge in your lap. But the dude, I'll say this about the guy. The guy's a jerk on the video. He's throwing an adult temper tantrum, and I'll just put this out there. I would highly doubt that if there was a man in front of him, that guy would be doing the same thing. And if it was hypothetically a 300-pound biker dude with tats on his head and bulging muscles – if Bill Goldberg is in front of this clown, I'm guessing that he's not doing it. But if you haven't seen the video, it's up. You, as it used to be the old 80s commercial, you make the call. Who's in the wrong? Who's in the right? And by the way, do you have a traveling pet peeve? If you want to throw that up there as well, you can. Your biggest airline travel pet peeve. Send those over. You can do that on Twitter, at YoWest910TheFan. All right, 5 o'clock hour is coming up next. It's going to be a busy one. If you missed it, we're going to bring back a little bit of Pep Hamilton, the D.C. Defenders coach of the XFL. He was kind enough to join us in the first hour of the show, and Pep was great. Talking about Cardale Jones, talking about his surprise in the league, talking about having a little bit of hesitancy, knowing the first XFL, and also his personal favorite rule of the XFL. So we'll do that in the 5 o'clock hour. I will spend a little bit more time on VCU because there is a quick turnaround to a very big game, which became even bigger against Richmond on Saturday. We'll hop back into that. But next, I've given you my opinion on the Houston Astros and how it went south again today. How they tried to make something right and they continue to make it so wrong. You're going to hear from a guy who played the game for over a decade. Billy Ripken, going to join the show next here on Sports Radio 910 The Fan and 105.1 FM.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.